to encourage. What goes through your mind when you think about fasting? What was that? Suffering? Food? Yeah. It's so hard when we have so much of it. We have abundance but it's a good discipline to have. It talks more about fasting than in the Old Testament than even the New Testament. I guess that 83 times all overall, and in the Bible it talks about fasting and prayer. So fasting is and praying, and because who doesn't want to get closer to the Lord, right? Because if we don't want to get close to the Lord, I think might be something wrong with us. Because He is, we sung that, He is our Savior, He's our Redeemer, He's the one who gives us breath and life. He's the one who saved us from utter darkness and hell. How can we not want to know more of Him? And He calls us to come to know Him more and more every single day. Right? And there's things in this world that try to draw your attention away from the Lord, and sometimes, you know, I'm not saying some of those things are not bad, but sometimes they take over and put us in bondage. That's okay. Right? Sometimes, you know, they ever go on TikTok or Facebook? How much time do we waste on Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat? And when you're just scrolling, the next thing it's like 10 minutes. Half hour, an hour later, right? Think of the wasted time that we have. And think of the time that we have is very precious. So I'm going to read in Isaiah 58, 1 to 9. In Isaiah 58, it talks more about fasting than any other scripture in the entire Bible. And also in Isaiah 58, God is going to be rebuking Israel for fasting incorrectly. So there is a proper way of fasting, and there's a right way of fasting. And so it all comes down to our heart. It's like, Lord, am I fasting because I have the right intentions of desiring to know more of You rather than it being a religious act? So sometimes we could be, I want to just fast because everybody else in the church is fasting. Or so-and-so is fasting because I want to be not left out. FOMO. Fear of missing out. Right? And so, that's why last week I asked all of us to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, how do You want me to pray? Or how do You want me to fast? What type of fast do You want me to have? Right? And for how long do You want me to fast? Because if God is just saying, you know what, just fast from this, that's what you need to fast from. Between you and God. He wants you to put down maybe that idol. Whatever thing is hindering your walk with Him. Right? You know, so Satan desires to everything in his power to hinder you and to allow you to understand the truth of the gospel. He knows that he cannot take you back. He lost you. Once you became a child of God, he no longer has dominion over you. So he will try to do anything possible to derail you, to bring distractions in your life, to pull you away, so you get caught up in other things rather than following and serving the Lord. That doesn't happen, does it? No. You know, in Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. This is an act of service. This is an act of love, not of compulsion, but out of love and desire to really have a living sacrifice. It's your heart that God's after, right? Not religious acts. Because we could do religious things and thinking that we're gaining brownie points, which doesn't mean nothing to God. It's about your heart. Do you really love him? Do you desire to lay down things? Do you really want to give up things? So that your relationship with him will grow and flourish and be rooted and grounded. So when trials and tribulation come, that you don't say, Lord, where are you in this? You know that through Scripture, it says that even though we face trials and tribulation, God allows certain things to happen in our lives to reveal where our faith is, what our faith is in. Do we trust the Lord when we go through trials and tribulation? Or do we pull away and run away? So fasting helps us to be rooted and grounded in God rather than ourselves. So as we go back to Isaiah 58, that was a side note. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and we take no notice? In fact, the days of our fast define pleasure and exploit all. So, and this is God now saying, because now they're like, where is God in this? We were fasting. Why didn't you hear us? Because they were not doing the fast the proper way. On the outside, they were acting religious. Look what we're doing. I'm doing this. I'm fasting. But God's saying, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. So they were taking advantage of people. They were sinning. They were doing things that we should not be doing. So they were fasting, but yet taking advantage of people, exploiting their laborers. I think verse 4. And then, next one. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day. So they're fasting and they're continuing to sin. Knowingly going into sin, doing things that are, does that make sense? They're trying to seek the Lord's favor and they're still doing things they know is wrong. Right? Instead of denying and seeking God's face and say, Lord, because when we start fasting, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things in our lives that we need to and ought to repent of. Maybe bad attitudes, maybe how we look at people and treat people, how we are very disrespectful at times. It should be repentance. Right? Because we're seeking God's face. We're humbling ourselves before him, and he's going to reveal things in our lives. Right? So they were doing the fasting out of religious acts because it looked good. But God's like, you're fasting not to know me, but rather to look good about to men and other people. They're looking good on the outside, but not really dealing with their hearts. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Next one, Dave. It is a fast that I have chosen. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush? And to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord? Is it not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness? This is what God, when we fast, this is what God wants to do happen in our lives. Right? This is the benefit right now of fasting. We're going to be reading that. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are outcast? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be the rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. And then it goes on to verse 10. But it talks about why do we fast? To break off bondages. To take off that yoke. That sometimes we take on a yoke and put it upon ourselves thinking that we ought to be doing this. God said, this is why you call, and I will answer you, and I will show you how to fast. And that's why I asked last week, take the week to fast, to pray, and ask the Lord, what type of fast do you want me to do? I can't tell you what fast to do. I may suggest some fasts. I have given examples of different fasts. But how does God want you to fast? Right? This is the proper way to fast. It's not what I think I need to do. Rather than God, how do you want me to fast? What do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to pray for? Lord, I don't want to be a thing of a religious act and just doing it for the sake of looking good and saying that I went through whatever length of fast you did. Rather than saying, Lord, I thank you that when I came to you, you helped me through it. Lord, thank you that you directed my path and you spoke into my heart and revealed things in my life that need to be dealt with. And that as we did, when he reveals things in our lives, that yoke and those heavy burdens and all that other bondage will fall off. Right? It's not a time of being sorrowful. It's actually a time of excitement. I haven't felt really this excited about doing a fast for a long time. And it's amazing. There's a lightness. There is a joy in my step. And I just when we have that, I think the way we live our lives, people will see the difference. How many of us know grumpy Christians? Christians that are so, man, like you want to get away from them because they're so, you know, complaining and miserable, and I'd rather, you know, there's people that are non-believers are fun to be with rather than Christians. Isn't that true? What attracts people to Christ if we are grumpy all the time? what's attracting them? You're not attracting them. We're not attracting them. What is something that they desire? They want joy and peace. They want assurance. They want hope. And we all have that because of Christ. How do we live our lives? You know, God, throughout the Bible, Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. King David fasted when his son was dying. King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast throughout Judea for victory over their enemies. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel fast. They fasted and prayed. And God honored. See, when you look at different fasts, what happened when people fasted? There was spiritual breakthroughs. How many of us want a breakthrough in our own life? Right? And sometimes when we allow the flesh to have a stronghold on us, dictating to us, telling us what we should be doing, because our flesh does not want to lose control. So it feeds you. It gives you what you want. Right? And so that's why sometimes we don't like to fast, because we are giving up something that we just love to feed on. And it's denying ourselves. We love to fulfill ourselves, but we need to deny ourselves. 83 times, pray and fasting. Jesus expects us to fast. He doesn't say that you have to fast, but he says, when you fast, we fast. It should not be just once a year, but often, right? You know, even Queen Esther declared a fast for 3 days for the Jews prior to her approaching the king Xerxes. Nineveh fasted after hearing Jonah share the word of God. From the king down, they all fasted. God withheld his judgment against them. They repented of their ways. Right? When we, in our fast, there's things that God's going to reveal in our lives. He's going to say, you need to repent of. The early church fasted before sending out Barnabas and Saul. So in Acts 13, that's before Saul became Paul. So fasting is a biblical way to truly humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know, your confidence and faith in God will be strengthened when we fast. You will feel mentally and spiritually and physically refreshed. It's amazing. Your relationship with the Lord will come renewed, trusting and leaning on Him more. Right? We all want to learn and trust the Lord more and more all the time. But there's always something in the way. You ever get that feeling? I can remember years ago that I was like, Lord, I want to go deeper. But what is holding me back? Right? I loved him, adored him, but I knew something was holding me back. And he wants to break those chains and bondage off of us so that we could enter in and to spend more time with him, to really know him. You know, fasting is mentioned more times in scripture than tithing and baptism and other things. But yet, fasting is the least spiritual discipline that we will do. You know, the Puritans, we have that AG, whatever that one, that app, AGD. And so they talked about the Puritans. and they really want to go towards the Word of God. They want to know the Word of God. They want to forsake things of this world and really to know God. So in the 17th century, they coined this phrase, fasting is soul fattening. To fatten your soul. Rather than fatten your flesh, fatting your soul. And your soul is the spirit, your inner man, right? If you would fatten your inner man, and your spiritual side is growing and flourishing, and then the flesh will not really dictate to you what you should be doing or directing you or leading you away. So when we are soul fattening by being in the Word of God and listening to the Holy Spirit and abiding in Him, our inner man starts to be fattened, gets strong and healthy. And that's the thing. Sometimes our inner man is so suffocated because we're not feeding Him. Rather that we're feeding the flesh. And that's why we have troubles and struggles, because we're feeding the flesh rather than the soul. So when we fast and seek the Lord, our physical cravings diminish. It will. It takes about 2 or 3 days when you're fasting. Right? We initially do it. Because your flesh is like, I don't like this. And it's like, well, Lord, help me. I need your strength. Right? Take orange juice. Take some sugar to help you with your headaches and grumpiness. Take a sip of grape juice. And sometimes we get grumpy. So when we feed the soul with spiritual food, it strengthens, nourishes us spiritually. We begin fattening the soul with spiritual food, strengthen us to rely on the Lord more, and able to die to self. When fasting with proper heart intention, there would be a freeing benefit. The Lord will loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke. There is a loosing of something that has bound us. Sometimes there are sins, strongholds in our lives that take us captive. So patterns or addictions that hold us captive in our flesh that need to be broken. When a follower of the way is saved, your spirit is regenerated. Here comes the battle now. When you become regenerated in Christ, there's a battle in your body. The old nature and the new nature are a battle, and so which nature are you going to feed? Right? Your flesh is not regenerated when you become a believer. Your spirit, your soul is regenerated. Not your body, yet. So that's why there's a battle going on. And we'll have this battle until the Lord takes us home. So it's an ongoing process. You know, the flesh has appetites. Not all are sinful. However, we do battle with the flesh to make it obedient to the Word of God. The flesh wants to please itself. The flesh wants to dominate your spirit. The battle is real. And we have this battle. It will continue to go on. Fasting strengthens our soul. It makes it more dominant than our flesh. And that is the key in breaking sin strongholds. And by repenting. It's one thing God reveals things in our lives, but if we don't repent of them and turn away from them, right? He asks us to repent of them. When we don't repent of things, those chains really start to take hold of us, pull us down. He doesn't want that. He came to set the captives free. He wants you to live with a life that is full of abundance and your relationship with him growing and flourishing, and to really share the truth, to say to people, you know what, I was this once, and this is how God set me free. And that does not have any more dominion over me anymore. What was these battles that I faced as a believer, as I surrendered them and trusted the Lord, he helped me, he broke those chains off of me, and I don't have those tendencies any longer. And that's available to all of us. I know sometimes we will have a difficult time in certain areas. But keep looking to the Lord. You know, temptations are not sinful, right? But acting on temptations is. You know, temptations will not go away. Those temptations will be there as long as you're in your body. So when we fatten our soul, so we look at verse 8. It says also, I'm in the wrong chapter. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. There be healing. Spiritual healing in your life that you have never experienced before. Who doesn't want that? Do we not want spiritual healing? And only God can actually get into the most inner facets of our lives to actually heal us, right? He's the one who does the healing. He's the one who does the restoring. It's like, Lord, here I am. There's going to be some broken times. Might be some times of crying. But there comes healing. Because he's in there. He knows how to help you through those difficult times. You know, there's a spiritual healing only the Lord can perform in our lives, in our families, in our country. There's a physical healing that the Lord does. When we have our hearts aligned with the Lord, God moves in a more miraculous way. It seems like that. He wants to move. But when there's things that we love more than him, it's hard for him to move in our lives. He won't push his way in, because he wants your heart. He wants you to desire him. He's not going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to follow him. But he's going to give you those desires, right? Do we desire what he desires? Fasting brings that out. I think when you look at it, when we fast, we don't want to deal with things. Sometimes we don't. We're too afraid. But if we want to be set free, it's time of prayer. Lord, I'm praying. I'm seeking your face. I want healing in my emotions. I want breakthrough in certain strongholds in my mind, breaking anxieties, worrying about everything. Should we be worrying about everything? No. Because even the birds of the air don't worry about where the food comes. God says he loves you more than even the birds. He feeds the birds. Are we supposed to do our part? Yes. But not to worry about the next day, right? Letting go of control of sometimes. Sometimes we are control freaks. Because we always need to know what's happening. And sometimes in Mark 9, it talks about how, you know, there's a dad whose son was had a demon possessed. And the disciples tried to pray and set the young man free, but the demon would not leave. And then Jesus came along and says, only this way how this child can be set free is through prayer and fasting. And so sometimes through prayer and fasting, it's the only way to be really set free from bondages in our lives. Whatever is holding us back, through prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord, humbling ourselves before Him, say, Lord, here I am. Help me. And deliver me from this hold that's on my life. Fasting is all about drawing near to God, not a religious act. And I know there's a lot more. But I'm trying to encourage us to fast. Not maybe, even if you don't fast during this time, but if you will fast another time and another time, that would be a habit. To really seeking the Lord, and we'll, you know, as we fast through this time, to be praying for those who do not know Christ, praying for family salvation, praying for this town, praying for the government, praying for the schools, right? And even during this time, like, Lord, where do you want me to step into? What do you want me to be doing for you? Not to be afraid, not to be hiding behind our doors and not be involved, but Lord, how do you want me to be used by you? Think of the great ministry there's in schools today, in government, on all levels, in our workplaces, right? So there's a great place of ministry. So, I want to do communion. I thought it'd be a wonderful way to start our fast, if you're doing the fast or not. It's just like, Lord, because and if you're not a believer, I would suggest not to take the fast or take the bread and wine and so I have Daniel, yeah, and John, and maybe who else to help? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Kurt, yeah, one time. So as we take the the communion, we're reminding ourselves that because of this, that we've been redeemed, and the bread that it's matzah, so it reminds us of what Jesus went through, the piercing, the stripes, right? Reminds us that there's no sin in Christ. He was sinless. And He took our sins away. But as before we take communion, you know, ask the Lord. Lord, search my heart. And there's things that you need to deal with prior to taking communion. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, just search my heart right now. Is there anything that needs to be dealt with prior to me taking your bread in the cup, right? So as we take the communion, we take the bread, we're reminded of all that Christ has done for us. And then when we confess our sins and repent, he takes away all our sins. And he cleanses us. And he gives us his righteousness. And we're reminded to do this often, right? And how he set us free. And he's continued to work in our lives. And we're taking this so we don't forget who he is and all that he has done in our lives and all that he's still doing in our lives. So we're doing this out of remembrance. And it's like, Lord, I'm taking this because I don't want to forget all what you have done. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're still doing in my life. And as we take the bread, we're just saying, Lord, you are the bread of life. You're the bread that I need. Lord, we thank you for your body. We thank you for going to the cross. Thank you, Lord, for rising again from the dead and sit at the right hand of the Father. During the Seder, Jesus took the third cup and says, you know, this cup reminds us when we take it that we've been redeemed, that we've been purchased and paid for in full by Christ, by his blood. And we're also reminded when we take the cup that we are his bride. Right? And it's like, yes, Lord, I will continue to follow you, continue to be your bride, keep looking and seeking you more and more every day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.